changed one integral for another one. But it's useful to do this because of the form of the Fermi function. So the Fermi function is looks like this. So it's constant for a long time. Then it drops near the chemical potential. Then it's constant again. So when you differentiate this, the derivative would be like that. And the derivative is only non-zero in some small region of energy. And I've plotted minus the derivative here. And it's peaked around the chemical potential. So I took the Fermi function and just differentiated it. And this is minus the derivative of the Fermi function. It's a little bit complicated looking when you write the formula. But if you plot it, it's just a peak around the chemical potential. And the width of this peak depends on the thermal energy's KBT. So for small temperatures, it's a very narrow function. And for higher temperatures, it's a pretty wide function. At room temperature, KBT is 25 millielectron volts. So if the energy moves away from the chemical potential by 25 millielectron volts, then we have e to the 1, and that's going to be about a factor of 3. So by the time you get to 3 times the thermal energies, if the energy goes about 3 times away of KBT, so at room temperature, that's about 0.1 electron volts, then this exponential function is already a really large number, and it suppresses the derivative of the density space. And this is kind of the mathematical expression of something I said last time when I was talking about the Fermi sphere. I said that the states near k equals zero, they don't participate in something like the specific heat. For the specific heat, you look at how much energy you need to raise the temperature by a certain amount. And if you add energy to the system, the thermal energies tend to be small compared to the Fermi energy. So the Fermi energy is the energy associated with the electrons, the last filled electrons in this case. And the thermal energies are much smaller, so they can take an electron from just below the Fermi surface and put it just above the Fermi surface. But the states near k equals zero will just always be filled at room temperature because it takes too much energy to get them from a filled state and put it up into an empty state. And the states far above the Fermi surface don't participate either because they're always empty. They're empty before you raise the temperature, they're empty after you raise the temperature. So it's only those states at energies about the Fermi energy that will participate in something like the specific heat. And this is how you can understand this mathematically, that when you do this integration by parts, then you only need to integrate over this region. This will also turn out to be very convenient for us when we try to do some of these integrals numerically. So for a typical material, the density of states is a complicated function, and we need to integrate over the density of states. And the integral, for instance, for the electron density, was the electron density is the integral from minus infinity to infinity of the density of states times the Fermi energy, Eb. And numerically integrating from minus infinity to infinity takes a long time because you have to consider all energies. But it turns out that we actually only need to really consider the energies near the chemical potential. So when we do a numerical integration, we'll only have to integrate around the chemical potential to be able to calculate some thermodynamic property. But Sommerfeld did this before anyone did numerical integration. So instead of that, what he did was he expanded this function k here. He expanded it in a Taylor expansion around the chemical potential. So we want to do integrals that's some function of energy times the derivative of the Fermi function. And we know that only the value of k close to the chemical potential is important, because farther away, the Fermi function goes to zero, and whatever value it has far away from the chemical potential will be unimportant for the integral.
So we make a Taylor expansion around the chemical potential. So the first term is just the value at the chemical potential. And the next term is linear in energy and depends on the slope, the derivative of this function evaluated at the chemical potential. And the term after that is quadratic in the energy, or the energy difference from the chemical potential. And then it's got this prefactor of k squared, the second derivative of k with respect to energy. Okay. So we can take a form like this and put it into the integral up here, and then we would have to integrate the derivative of the Fermi function times a constant plus the derivative of the Fermi function times a linear function of energy plus the derivative of the Fermi function times a quadratic function of the energy, and so forth.